I mentioned this last weekend at the earlier masses. So if you were at a different mass last weekend, I apologize for repeating this, but Father Greg Oleksleger was at the Eucharistic Congress, and he said Jonathan Rumi gave one of the talks, who plays Jesus on The Chosen. And Jonathan Rumi, they said that they had just finished filming season 5, and he was disappointed because for whatever reasons they had decided not to include John chapter 6 as part of the story that they were filming over the however many seasons. And so he said, I would like to read John chapter 6 to start my talk off using my Jesus voice. And so he did. And Father Oleksleger said, you could see he was visibly moved proclaiming those words, the meaning behind them. Something important for us to spend time with those words and let them sink in, not just to our mind, but into our hearts and our lives. Because it's about God's wisdom. And our first reading today helps with that, where it says, wisdom has spread her table. The feast is prepared. If you hunger for wisdom and understanding, then come to the feast of heaven and earth. Come to wisdom's table. But wisdom doesn't invite just anyone to this table. Our first reading proclaims, let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one without understanding, wisdom says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Are we simple enough, humble enough to come to the Eucharist? To be simple means to be in need. To be humble means to be lacking something. So often we come to this feast already full. Wisdom isn't asking for your academic credentials or your economic portfolio. Most of us have our own houses, our own food to eat and wine to drink. It's not that we, you know, need wisdom's house or food. So many times our attitude is we come here as an invited guest to a dinner party. We're here out of politeness to God. Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, which means he's serious. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Do we really think we have all we need? There was a rich man in the gospel who thought that way. And God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. But it's not just about money. Am I full with pride or anger or lust or any of the vices? To trust in God means to realize I'm not enough. The whole world isn't enough. Does God owe me eternal life? If for no other reason than because, you know, I'm basically a good person. I was polite. Came to his dinner parties regularly, every Sunday or thereabouts. Am I living a law with my heart somewhere else? When you come here, do you bring your heart with you? The Jews in the gospel, the disciples of Jesus, they loved dinner parties. Jesus fed them very well when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. They were the best tasting fish and chips they'd ever had. But then Jesus began to say that fish and chips aren't enough. He didn't just want to fill their bellies. That's the external thing. He wanted to give them a whole new life. We don't just need the mass to fill our bellies. The manna in the desert filled bellies. We have lots of forms and shapes of manna in our lives that wonderfully fill our bellies. And what does Jesus say about those? If all we ever eat is manna, then we die. But whoever eats the bread that I will give will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. There's a very important pattern in John's gospel. Jesus says something outlandish, right? Like, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. To which Nicodemus got confused. How can a man, once he's grown old, climb back into the womb and be born again? And Jesus corrects him. No, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean it literally or physically. I'm talking about grace, the Holy Spirit, baptism. This is a common pattern in John where Jesus says something, the crowds misunderstand, and Jesus clarifies. But here the pattern gets broken. The people get confused. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? That's how they understood it. And it was a perfect opportunity for Jesus to say, no, I didn't mean flesh literally. But he doesn't. Instead, he comes back with stronger language. In fact, he mentions eating his flesh and drinking his blood 6 times after they ask for a clarification. What's our response to that? Well, that's not the kind of dinner party I was thinking about. Sorry. Do we understand that dining at God's table is not about a meal, but about changing our lives? It's about a meal that will change our lives. He wants to be the life within us that changes our life. That's why St. Paul says elsewhere in the New Testament, I live now, not I, but Christ lives in me. To receive the divine life, it's no longer to cling to my worldly way of life. Think, where else in the Gospel of John do we hear this word flesh? Think back to the beginning of John's Gospel. Right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. When Jesus says that we must eat the flesh of the Son of Man, he's talking about communion with the second person of the Trinity who became man. Our communion is true flesh and blood, which doesn't refer to this earthly stuff that we carry around. Our communion is risen, glorified flesh and blood. The real presence on our altar is a living presence. The Transfiguration account in the Gospel gives us a hint of what the risen, glorified Jesus is like. His face shone like the sun, and his garments became like light. That's the spiritual presence, the most real presence in the Eucharist that we come here to consume. We eat glory, light, divine light. Don't disbelieve it just because our earthly eyes can't see it. As a woman is pregnant with the real presence of her child within her womb, we become pregnant with the real presence of the risen Christ through Holy Communion. This is wisdom's house, wisdom's pillars, wisdom's meat and wine. We are certainly welcome to God's dinner party. But I encourage you to approach with fear and trembling to his table without presumption, with faith in the glory that we are all unworthy to receive. So here's the homework for the week. What about your current life does the divine, glorious, living flesh that you receive in the Eucharist need to transform? This week, think about what needs to change in my life. And then when you come to receive Holy Communion, receive the divine light that has power to change.